Now let's continue on. We know about baptism. We've already covered that, Romans 6. But let's just read it into the record so we can have it here with this. So let's go to Romans 6. We're not going to go through it in great detail since we've covered it in great detail already. Because, you see, the new covenant is different than any other covenants in the Bible. The only similarity is a covenant is secured by a symbolic death. Then it's in effect. That's why a person has to be baptized first, because that baptism is a symbolic death. And as we have seen here, you join into the death of Jesus Christ. Let's pick it up here in verse 3, Romans 6. Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Now this is a covenant pledge. A covenant pledge is greater than a commitment. Because a covenant pledge, you are pledging your death to guarantee that the covenant will be carried out by you. And if you don't carry it out, you're going to die. So that's why we then have this kind of death. So we have been buried with him through baptism into the death. It is the covenant death, the death of Christ and your death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way, we should also walk in newness of life. We don't live like the rest of the world any longer. For if we've been conjoined together in the likeness of his death, so also shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, that's the covenant to eternal life. There can't be any higher or any greater covenant that we can make. Now, let's come to John 13, and let's cover about the foot washing. Because when we do that, you see, as we pointed out with the problem that Job had, Job was righteous, but he took all the credit rather than from God. That was his sin. See? So likewise with us, when we take that covenant pledge and that covenant baptism and that covenant death, then there are requirements from Christ as to what we are to do. Okay. Now, John 13, and let's pick it up here in verse 2. And during supper, now this means right at the beginning of supper, it just started, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, that he should betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and after taking a towel, he secured it around himself. Next, he poured water into a washing basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had secured. And then you know the incident with Simon Peter. Then he came to Simon and he said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you shall understand after these things, meaning after he got done washing their feet. Peter said to him, you shall not wash my feet, not ever. Now remember, Peter was the one who said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll go to jail with you. And he denied him. Peter was the one who then came to Jesus when Jesus said that it was necessary for him to die and suffer at the hands of the elders and the priests and the Pharisees. Peter came to him and said, Lord, no, that won't happen to you. You know, I won't let it happen. I'm your protector. And he told Peter, get you behind me, Satan. And he also told Peter that Satan had desired to have you to sift you like wheat. Well, you see, Peter is mentioned here because this lesson is also for him, starting as number one, that you're not going to be greater than your Lord. You're not going to change the message. You're not going to add to it. You're not going to take away from it, see? Okay. So Jesus told him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So then he said, Lord, not my hands and feet only, my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who has been washed, which is a reference to baptism, not taking a bath. There was no way that they could have taken a bath before the Passover, because they walked into town, came to where the Passover was, you know, no way to have a bath. So this refers to the washing of baptism. Does not need to wash anything other than the feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew the one who was betraying him. This is the reason he said, not all of you are clean. So after he had done this, he put aside his garment, he'd taken his garments again, he sat down and he said, verse 12, do you know what I've done to you? Now here is a key lesson. This is a key lesson. Now remember, these were all the apostles. So this is very important for anyone who's going to be teaching or preaching or professing to preach the gospel. Verse 13, you call me the teacher and the Lord, and you speak rightly because I am. Therefore, if I, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you are also duty-bound to wash one another's feet. Now, the question always comes up, what if I'm alone? Well, Jesus didn't say wash your own feet. You're to wash one another's feet. So if you're all alone, then as we have in the Christian Passover ceremony booklet, what you do, you pray to God, know the meaning of it, and then you let the Holy Spirit of God take care of the meaning of the foot washing. But where there are other people around to wash feet, then you wash feet. Wash one another's feet. You are duty bound. In other words, if God says it's duty bound, you can't do away with it. Yet most of Christianity does, supposed Christianity, does away with it. It's not Christianity. I've got to come up with another name. Maybe churchianity would be better. People have used that name. That would be better. Okay? Verse 15, for I've given you an example to show you that you also should do exactly, there's that word again, as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, nor a messenger greater than he who sent him. That's the key. That is the key. They were to be what? A servant and messenger. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So you don't change the message. You don't change the way that things are being done. You do it exactly God's way. Okay, now let's come to Mark 14. Mark 14, after Judas Iscariot had left to go out to betray him. And isn't it interesting that Satan likes to get right up there in the top echelon, right? Yes, indeed. Okay, let's come here to, see the verse that we're at here, verse 17. Now, after evening had come, so it was at the point of getting dark, he came with the 12. And as they sat and were eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you shall betray me, even he who is eating with me. And he became extremely sad and said to him, one by one, is it I? And another, is it I? And he answered and said to them, the one who is dipping a morsel in the dish with me, he is one of you 12. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it has been written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born. Okay, so then he dipped the sop and he left. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now that is symbolic. And that means that you are going to totally live your life the way that Jesus Christ wants you to. He is the word of life. If we come to him, we'll never hunger and we'll never thirst again. But we've got to do it God's way, you see. Now, the Catholics, they don't break the bread. They have a round wafer. And if it's broken, they don't use it. See, all of those practices of the Protestants and Catholics have nothing to do with the truth, nor the Mormons. The Mormons eat bread and water. I mean, you know, to give prisoners. And he took the cup, verse 23, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it, and he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." We find in the other accounts for the remission of sins. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have remission of sins, and we are justified. But you see, we know the things that must take place. Repentance, baptism, and then receiving of the Holy Spirit, and then taking of the new covenant, because you're not in new covenant unless you have had those things first. It's not like, you know, if you went down to a Catholic church, you could go online and you could take the sacrifice of the Mass. They wouldn't ask you anything. But only those who have been baptized can take the Passover, as we have seen. And it has to be done in the right manner, at the right time, with the right emblems, with the right words, with the words of the new covenant. And as we find in the, here, I've got a Christian Passover ceremony booklet here. We put everything in here so that you won't have to fumble with the Bible while we're going through the Passover ceremony. So you can have your mind and your thoughts on the words and the meaning of the words. And it reaches back in history to the time of Abraham and goes forward from that time, really, out until the completion of God's plan with mankind, and then with Abraham and God, clear out into all eternity, and all of us, all eternity. I was watching, what was it, last night or the night before? No, it was the night before, where they were showing the new Hubble telescope. And the pictures that they were taking, okay? Now, what they did to start it out, they focused it on a star, one star. And after they developed the picture, they found out that that one little place out there had hundreds and hundreds of galaxies. Not just stars, galaxies. So they had to go back and reestimate the number of galaxies in the universe. And I still think this is too low. They said there are 360 trillion galaxies. So, you know, and God has invited us to become part of his plan for all eternity. And furthermore, we have been chosen to be in New Jerusalem. And our calling and our choice and our selecting of this by God, God has called us, God has selected. Yes, we have to answer. Yes, we have to do the things we need to do. But what does that make the people of God qualifying for the first resurrection? It makes them the most important people on the face of the earth from the time of Jesus Christ until now and continuing on down in the future. But those of us in the first resurrection are always going to be, if I could say it this way, we will be in an echelon or level of the elite. The ones in the top echelon will be Abel and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so forth. They will be in the top echelon. King David and so forth. Well, I don't know what echelon we will be in. I don't want to pull a Waterhouse on anybody and put you all in offices everywhere in the universe, you know. I don't want to do that. Okay? But nevertheless, we are the most important people in the world. Now let that sink in. Let that humble you. Let that help you to understand the great gift that God is giving, eternal life. Yes, this old physical body is going to wind down and it's going to wear out. And like Dolores said when she got in the car to come down here, she said, well, when we got married, we promised each other we wouldn't get old. And I said, well, so much for promises. How about that? But the truth is, what she said is correct. If we are faithful, we'll be resurrected with a new body, with a new mind, with glory. We will be in the family of God. That's what the new covenant is all about. It's not a matter of the Lord's Supper. It's not a matter of communion. It's not a matter of the sacrifice of the Mass. Those are all satanic substitutes for the truth. Christ is guaranteeing and renewing to each one of us that we will be in the first resurrection, that we will receive eternal life. And that's what the Passover is all about. Yes, it required his death. Yes, we are to remember his death because that's the greatest thing that God, who lives forever, was to become a human being and die. That's the greatest and most humble thing he could do so that we could live forever. So the one who should take the Passover is the one who has repented, been baptized, received the Holy Spirit of God, and he or she then should take the Passover according to the instructions of the Bible, and so that you can have your mind in full concentration on it. We have all the scriptures right here in the Passover ceremony booklet. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.